Hi guys, it's Keaton here for the Casthetic Podcast. I want to remind you to please use the Amazon banner link at the top of our website at casthetic.com for all of your online shopping needs. It costs you nothing extra, and the show gets a percentage of all the sales. Please bookmark it. And now, on to the show. Welcome to another episode of Casthetic. I am your host, Keaton Buse, and I got a wonderful band for you. You guys are going to be so impressed. They did so well. Good job. Gold stars all around. It is Carter Lou and The Project. They're not from The Projects. I mean, they could be. I don't know everyone's history, but it's Carter Lou and The Project Badass with their first song, Do or Die.
Day in late December, incoherent but still remember, found my excuse and off I went. Shaking hard, drink all my nerves, thinking you could heal my hurt. Cross my fingers, close my eyes.
Yeah.
That was Do or Die by Carter Liu and The Project. Let's go around, get to know everyone's voice, have them introduce themselves, tell you what they play, what they don't play. I didn't hear a theremin. So yeah, we'll just go around the room.
Oh, my name's Ben Tufts and I play drums.
My name is Carter Luthien and I play guitar and sing.
I'm Curtis Barnes and I play bass.
I'm Richard Smith and I play guitar.
I was reading that you guys start up in 2014, or at least The Project did.
Yes, sir.
The Projects.
I know you've kind of had a rotating, why am I forgetting the rule?
Lineup,
that's the word.
An ensemble is a better word, though.
Yeah, ensemble Posse. Makes it look like I read a thesaurus, which I don't. I don't want to mislead people.
Yeah.
But I know you've had like a rotating lineup. What's some of the background history?
Well, when I was, 2014 was my senior year of high school. And that summer, me and my best buddies, Curtis Barnes, Richard, I don't know where you were then. I mean, I cry about it every night, wondering. But John Fee and Ben Alter, and we just played a bunch of bar gigs and, you know, shit shows. And then we had 1 week until we went to school. And Mae Verba, who used to work at Jam and Java, wanted us to play the day before we were going to leave. We were like, okay. And then I was like, shit, guys, we need an album to put out. So we just spent the next 4 or 5 days in the garage making this album, which had one of the songs you'll hear later on, Annabelle, and a couple others. And people, like, received it. They were like, yeah, this is pretty good. It's just a shame you didn't have a good quality recording. And I'm like, you're right. But they seemed to enjoy the songs, and it was really cool. I'd never experienced anything like that. So I told my parents the day before I was supposed to go to college that I couldn't do it, and I wanted to try and pursue music. And I don't know if you've ever had an argument with your parents before, but that's...
Never.
Mom, Dad, I'm not even going to drop out of school. I'm just not going to go.
Can't drop out if you never went.
Exactly, right? That's what I said. O'Doyle rules. That's all I got.
Yeah.
But you have 2 albums out now, correct? I know because I worked one of your album releases.
No.
Yes.
I have the best album releases. You can't see it, but I'm doing Trump hands. They're small. They're in little fists.
Hey, that could be our president. We don't know. We know now when this is airing, but this is the past right now.
That's right. Hello. But yeah, we have great album release shows. So, first album release show. Well, the first album we just did in the garage. So that was
yeah.
Number one. We number one'd back in 2014. Number two came July of 2015. It was totally going to be done. I started singing a lot more. I started singing 2 years ago. I got to the point where I was working on it so often that I had gotten noticeably better from the beginning of when we started making the album, which, by the way, you can't see it. I have really long hair now. It's not Richard quality, but it hits my collarbones. Yeah. When we started making the album, I had a buzz cut. So, suck it, Frank Ocean. My album took longer. and it's still not out. But the first one, the garage album, the second album was, we just wound up releasing Annabelle, the single, and the third one, we were totally ready. It was all done. It was ready to go. I got a call from a producer in Georgia named Rick Beato, who's done a bunch of work for Need to Breathe and Shine Down and a bunch of other bands. He heard a song we put out, Trouble, online, and he called me, and Curtis and I went down to Georgia for 2 days and re-recorded Annabelle, and we redid a song called Nothing Left to Lose, which you'll hear both of those later. But that's why I have the best album release shows ever.
Well, this album that you're currently working on, Is there a due date for it?
We're setting up the PR campaign for it right now, so I don't know exactly, but probably 3 months from now. That's
all
the
right.
Goal. Yeah, right. Don't hold me to that. It'll
no promises.
Though.
And you're also recording, not only did you go to Georgia, but you're recording with a local producer here, Mark Williams.
Oh yes,
Mark Williams is my best friend in the entire world besides Keaton, Richard, and Curtis, and our boys back there. Mark Williams and I met when I played in a different band that will be nameless in this interview. They're great guys. It's just, I'm here to talk about us.
Is it a bland recital?
Yeah, it's a bland recital.
Cool.
A Great Awakening. I can't remember. But I honestly forgot the question. Grand recital made me black out.
Oh, what?
Yeah, Mark.
You got Mark, any yes, great Mark. Stories Mark working with Mark? Mark.
I have so many great stories of working with Mark. I just turned 21. I went to dinner with Mark, and we came back from dinner, and I had a little bit to drink. So we were walking back. He had a little to drink. I come back in the studio after using the restroom outside and come back.
Oh, this studio. I thought we were getting to a bedroom story.
Oh, no. Hold on.
I had a little drink. They had a little to drink.
So I come back in the studio and Mark's in his chair and he leans back and he turns his head and he looks at me and he goes, check this shit out. And he hits play and there's a soft song on the album that has like a piano intro called If Only in My Heart. And then when it gets to the chorus, it comes in full. Mark had been waiting, biting his lip, almost about to die of laughter, because when it hit the chorus, while I was in the bathroom, added these drops and swells and EDM shit all over the chorus. So it was like, doo-doo-doo-bow, and it was in time, and I almost peed my pants, and I just went to the bathroom.
I think that's the direction that this project should go in.
Definitely need
I
to take
no pun, but every pun intended.
Yes.
Rock, dubstep, fusion.
We're from the projects. We got
rock
a lot to say.
Rock fusion.
Raised hard.
Now, one thing I want to ask, like, when you're singing, you have a pretty, like, raspy, deep voice when you're singing as opposed to your talking voice. Anything you have to do special to make sure that doesn't die?
Yeah. working at 5 a.m. doesn't help. But when it does sound good, I really like coconut water. I'm a big fan of the Naked brand coconut water.
I thought you were about
they
to
use
say Coke.
Thai coconuts. Filipino coconuts and Brazilian coconuts are mass-produced, but Thai coconuts, I don't know, something about it, it gives this glossy coat to my throat, and it feels really good.
It's really like
and I can try and
Thai.
Sound like the singer of Creed all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I really wanted to ask, well, when you told me about it, you're telling me about a track that you had to knock off albums, which this happens all the time. Tracks get knocked off albums where you incorporated, what, 15-piece
orchestra.
Any plans to maybe release that as a standalone single or EP?
That'll be the next album release show.
I hope so. Right? It's just the one song. It was a song called We Can Be. We tracked a 15-piece orchestra. I walked in there like the biggest fucking tool in the world. I had skinny jeans and all these people were dressed nicely. And I'm just like,
what are you trying to
say? All right, fuckers. you're mine for about an hour. So let's get this right. They're like, who the fuck is this asshole? And they couldn't hear me anyways. They had headphones on. But it was amazing. It was a song about two of my buddies that passed away. So I was crushed. It got cut. But it wasn't standing up, you know? Like, because all the songs on the album are pretty diverse. There's some heavier rock songs. I just call it rock music. There's softer ballads. There's the Schmedium, the project, and there's the hard rock songs. I don't want to get into just one. It's too much fun.
Yeah.
Sometimes you want to get pissed off and scream, and sometimes you want to tell a girl how much you love her.
Yep.
Sometimes.
Sometimes you're romantic.
The sensitive side of Carl Lutheran. Your girl you pissed on.
And she's not calling you back. There's a song for that, too.
All right, well, let's move on to a segment we have on the show called Five Questions. I'm going to ask you five questions everyone gets asked. And you're going to answer them or, you know, sit there in silence and we'll figure out what to do.
Ooh.
So, let's cue the music. It's time for the first question of Five Questions. What is the worst gig you've ever had?
There's so many. The worst ones are the ones that you're giving it your all and you can't perform because something is hurting you. There was, oh my God. There was two shows where I go up to the microphone to say the first line of the first song of the set, the first thing ever, and I'm about to go and we're jamming and all of a sudden the song drops and I touch the mic and I get electrocuted so hard that I black out and fall back on the kick drum.
Oh.
I wake up halfway through the verse like, where the fuck? And I'm like looking down at my hands and I'm like, I'm still playing. I don't know what's going on. But it kept happening. So I had to keep backing off the mic, and the guy's like, why aren't you singing on the mic? And I'm like, I'm gonna fucking die. Like, I weigh 125 pounds with fucking bricks in my pockets, and I'm just getting fucking knocked on my ass. Like, please help me. That happened twice. It's awful. Curtis.
The worst show I've ever played. It actually wasn't with you, Carter. It's hard to imagine that we have a life separate, but we do. I was down in, I want to say Harrisonburg, Virginia, which is far too west of D.C. I don't know what I was doing. And I was going to hop on stage during the set of this other band that should remain nameless, we mentioned earlier. And I went to go play the bassist's bass, and it was so high up that I was playing the bass on my neck, it felt like. Like, the strap was just set so high, I just felt like I was, like, flossing my teeth with a bass guitar. It was so strange. And then I restarted dancing and singing, and the song got into it, and it was a pretty conservative crowd, and I guess they took that as some sort of, like, hippie, like, LSD message, and they were not about it. You know, they I just really, we really stood out in this conservative part of town as these kids dancing with long hair and singing and shouting, but yeah, I survived, and I'm back home.
Fucking kids.
Yeah.
Fucking kids.
Hard rock music.
What's this rock and roll they're talking about?
Get those lights
on. Jesus
off.
Christ.
What's the worst equipment malfunction you've had on stage? Now, I know you said the electrocution.
There's so many. Richard, you go first. I have to think real hard about
oh,
it.
Oh, God.
Right.
At least I haven't had any equipment malfunctions with Carter Loon, the project, but at least for me personally, I'm in a couple different projects.
Projects and the project.
Yeah.
From the project.
Yeah, from the project. In the projects. Project.
Currently in project.
Richard.
Project. One of the bands I play in, Milo and the Doldrums, we had a show at the Velvet Lounge, and a couple of the songs I lay back on. Some of them I'm a little bit more forward on, and the guitar sort of carries it. And so we were starting this one song, and I realized, oh my God, like, I can't hear my guitar. And I was like, fuck. And I'm just trying to, like, okay, my guitar is plugged in. Okay, my pedal board's still on. Okay, my amp's still on. And then, like, I look to where my guitar is plugged in, and my guitar is plugged in to a series of 3 power strips plugged into one another that goes to a wall, and one of them fucking blew. And so I'm, like, just desperately trying to just figure out where the fuck, and then it's like, I mean, no one's really noticing the franticness that's happening with me, and so, like, they cut out for my guitar part, and it's just nothing.
Just you looking up,
yeah.
Guilty, trying to figure out the power
yeah,
strips?
Yeah, and so, like, for me, it was just, like, my, like, amp plug in my hand, I was just like, ah!
Don't look at me!
Yeah. And then they carried on, and just act like it never happened, but it happened, and
that's
it was
amazing.
Bad.
Amazing.
Yeah, but I think so far that's the worst I got.
That's pretty bad. I'm glad you're okay. We're getting fucked up by electricity right now.
Yeah.
It's a fickle bitch.
Oh, it's amazing. We had our first show that wasn't an album release show, a Jam in Java, that we headlined. We got all the way through our set. And it was such a good crowd. You know, just some shows, you're going in there and everybody's in a good mood and everybody's participating. And we got to our encore, in the bridge of the song, there's this big snare fill that everybody just started clapping and jumping to. Right after that, Curtis did this epic jump, just whoosh. I'm like, whoa.
Let the record show was epic. It was epic.
I apologize.
He jumped and it was epic.
And then he came crashing down to the floor of the stage, and somehow at the same time, while getting up, kicked. I played a Mesa 412 cabinet that night, which probably weighs 120 pounds. And there's
so
this,
about you.
Yeah, yeah, it weighs one,
in your pocket.
One Carter Liu of the projects, and he somehow kicked it so hard that the little latch from underneath the cab, it flew off and went off of the stage. So the mic on my cab went off the stage, and I look out in the crowd. Everybody's like, fuck yeah. And I'm like, yeah. So I just hit a chord and I bolted off stage, like trying to find it. And I threw it over my shoulder. And I was like running back and still playing. And then I like whipped it around and kicked it into the cab. And I was like, fuck it. There's only 10 seconds left anyway. We're just going to finish strong.
What a sound guy's dream.
Right? It was a great show, though. If that jump was not epic, I would have been upset.
Which but it was.
Again,
it was epic.
The jump was epic.
I just like to think I'm good at multitasking. That's a lot of things to go wrong in one period. You know, I think it's a gift and a curse.
Yeah, I mean,
really,
our quarterly was really good that month. It was great.
I'd 100%. Have to agree.
I think
the numbers
could be replaced with worth it.
Worth it. I like that synopsis. Yeah.
Trust me, it was worth it.
I never really seem to experience any equipment failing me. Ooh. It's more of myself failing myself, I find, on stage.
Jeez,
as noted, as noted with the jumping, which was epic at
was
one
epic.
Point.
It was worth it.
I'm not a singer, obviously. And sometimes Carl will have me try to sing in the background. And I had this tendency of singing too quiet, so I assumed I had this one part I was going to sing in the song. It was Jam and Java's Better Man, and I thought it was gonna be quiet, so I really go up to it, and I was just going to like yell it. I was just going to yell the chorus back at him, like, can't find a better man, but yell it, you know, it was like really get over everything. And I go up to the mic, and my lips are like touching the mic, or very close to it, and I just yell. And the mic was so goddamn loud. You just hear me yelling over every instrument, like off pitch, just yelling. I just look so silly.
It was epic.
Let the record say that as well.
But I think my favorite part of that story was, I want to say that you replaced Pearl Jam with Jam and Java. And so you said Jam and Java by... or Better Man by Jam and Java. So now I just really want them to change their names to
they should.
Jam and Java.
They should. It was said here.
Welcome to Club Better Man. Jam and Java will be playing. Live.
All right. What's the scariest or dirtiest place you've stayed during a tour?
There was a show.
It was the night of the
Pittsburgh,
23rd.
Pennsylvania is a wonderful place, but we found a Motel 6.
That's the first.
Yeah. Like, I don't even
not
have
many
to,
people
you know
start
exactly where this is going. Like, you don't expect greatness. You don't expect to die. You just hope you don't.
Yeah.
And, like, it wasn't bed bugs. It wasn't somebody screaming next door. We were the only people in this place. And it's all you could see for miles. And I don't know how we found it, but it was horrifying, and everything made a scary sound. The door kept opening and closing. There wasn't an AC, so we didn't understand why. I don't believe in ghosts, but it was freaky. And, like, there was blood on stuff, and it was...
Ooh, nice.
On
like,
stuff,
I'm, right,
like...
Don't get me wrong. I'm Carter Lee from The Projects, so, like, you know, I'm hard as fuck.
You've seen some things.
I've seen some shit. Sang some songs about it.
From The Projects.
From The Projects. Yeah, thank you, Northern Virginia Magazine, though. No, it was a great article on Jam and Java, but they got the band name wrong. That'll come up later, I'm sure. But, yeah, that Motel 6, like, whenever I think of a scary movie, I revert back to that place and fearing for my life and wondering why my drummer was spooning with me.
I wouldn't.
I mean, we spoon all the time, but people are just like, that's adorable. That's how we wound up on a Hallmark card.
Yeah, I just want a ladle.
Oh, wow. That's what that was.
Yeah.
Impressive, sir. Oh, Richard, who would have thought?
Yeah.
What's the closest you've come to quitting music?
Well, last night.
About 10 minutes ago.
I took the last
one.
Somebody else can start. You probably have a good story about this. Curtis is a model when he's not playing music.
And oh, yeah.
A musician when he's not modeling.
So technically, I did quit music for a while. I think it was about... maybe a year ago where I decided to put down music. I had moved a considerable distance from my hometown and Carter. So, you know, not only did I not kind of have that connection of music that I've always had since Carter and I were 12, but I just wanted to pursue other things. So I really did effectively quit music for a while. Thankfully, I've taken it back up. But yeah, that was an actual quitting music story. It wasn't too exciting, but it happened. You heard it here first.
Fuck. Yeah, I've heard his story. I gotta hear yours, Carter.
Yeah.
Check out the Pile in the Doldrums episode of Cast Aesthetic on, is it Cast Aesthetic on podcast?
It's a Podomatic, iTunes.
I'm trying to plug you.
Yeah. So it's a
It's a great episode that they play. Milo in the Doldrums is fantastic.
Yeah, you can hear Richard's answer to that on the Milo in the Doldrums episode of Castathetic.
Yeah.
I have two answers for quitting music. The first one was when I had like a little, I used my mom's MacBook and I had one microphone and I tried to record a demo of a song to show my parents and be like, look, I'm doing this. This was before, like, as I was in high school, before the project was a thing. And I showed it to my father. I love my father. He's extremely supportive. He went, he was like, yeah, you should practice a lot more. And I went, thanks, Dad. So for the next 2 years, I guess I was my sophomore year of high school, I was so self-conscious about my singing that I, like, went into this tiny little, yeah, I'm going in the closet. Hold on, guys. This tiny little closet in my basement, I just covered it in pads and blankets and everything. I practiced really quietly every night, like 2 years. And then I like played a show with another band that should be nameless, whoosh, Bland Recital. And I sang background. My parents were like, oh, wow, you're starting to get better. And I was like, thanks. It only took 2 years and one compliment.
So at what point did you come out of that closet?
When was my 21st birthday? No, I mean, there's music's hard, man. There's so much to it that I never thought there would be. And it's great. It's what I love to do. It's hard. I'm lucky that I get to play with such talented guys, though. Seriously, Ben's not here right now, but Ben Tufts is like one of the best drummers in this area, if not the best. And he's
holy
just so
shit.
Chill. And you'll hear Richard. You heard him. You'll hear him again. He's just so good.
I've been hurt.
And Curtis holds it down all the time. And he's got beautiful pink hair.
Thank you.
You're a very beautiful man.
Oh,
sexy.
Guys. Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Let the record show that
it
was
a model.
Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Ooh.
I feel like this is like a support group for me as everyone's singing a circle.
We all need
Curtis,
help, man.
Now listen, these are some good things about you.
Gorgeous.
I feel...
My name's Curtis, and I'm fucking beautiful.
Oh, this topic Curtis. Brings me back to the whole quitting music story and the whole equipment failing you, but me really failing the equipment, is when I broke Carter Luthien's guitar. I just wanted to just walk home, just walk into the woods and just never emerge. I don't know. We were recording the first record in his garage
the project.
As angsty as can be, and I just, like, walked backwards and knocked over a microphone, which fell directly onto the front of this beautiful multi-$1,000 acoustic guitar.
This
and
is
just,
what I bought instead of a car
just,
for myself.
Just broke and just slid down and cracked the entire front face of the guitar, and I just kind of wanted to just call it quits at that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
I was like,
not
okay.
Cut out for this.
Yeah, I wanted to interject at some point, but so Curtis and I have known each other for a while, but like have finally met face to face, mouth to mouth.
Been a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty cool.
Show.
But when Curtis was out of town for a while, whenever I would go over to Carter's house to rehearse and I would play his Taylor, I'm just like, yeah, like I really fucking like this Taylor. And then he's like, yeah, one motherfucker broke it this one night with this mic.
Guilty as charged.
Great white buffalo.
What's the best memory you guys have together as a band?
Today was really cool. I know that's the cop-out, but it was really cool. I mean, Bias Studios is beautiful. This is at least my first time here.
Yeah,
Curtis, it's your first time. But the three of us...
Here's your product.
Oh, shit. The three of us haven't ever played a show together. I have no idea. I've had great times with you and you.
Yeah. How about us and then...
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Richard and I went on a date. Richard was in school in North Carolina for a while, and right when he came back, I wanted to like just be around this dude. He was so positive and so soft-spoken. He's a good-looking guy, and the only thing almost as good-looking as him is his guitar playing. But we went to like Cafe Amore in Vienna, and I remember like we were just talking, and he was going on about something, and I zoned out, and I was just looking at him dead in the eyes, and I was just like, wow.
It's like, wow, I finally came out of the closet.
Yeah, right? Take that, Dad. You told me to go practice. I'm gay now. No. But, oh, no, I broke myself. I mean, but Richard and I played a show at Rock and Roll Hotel where I swear to God we had polar opposite magnets in our pelvises because we ran into each other about 5 times.
Oh, I was wondering why you're holding your crotch
right now. Yeah, right. See where I'm going with this? But Rich and I played at Rock and Roll Hotel back in March. 2000 and this year.
Yes.
Right. And, back in the day.
We were doing a cover song, and like right in the chorus, like I did my little like hoppy shit that I do, and Richard did his, and we wound up like just bumping uglies real hard, and like half of my strings like flew off my guitar. And I'm like, well, shit, these are off my guitar. These aren't in tune. I'm just going to do the Bruce Springsteen, pull the bandana out of my back pocket, wipe my forehead, and grunt for 4 hours. That's one of my favorite shows that I did with you.
Aww.
Honestly, that was a fun show.
Mm-hmm.
With you, I mean, Jesus God. How many shows have we played together?
A lot.
I think our first headlining Jam and Java show is my favorite.
I was going to say that. I also had a great time playing at U Street last year, I believe it was. Maybe
it was
2 years.
February 7, 2015.
Okay, yes. Aww. I had a great time there. That was a great, great show. Really, there's a couple shows that stand out. Our first headlining one, I think, was just also because it's so sentimental.
There's tears in the studio right now.
But no, I mean, I've had a really, really great time playing with Carter, and I'm really looking forward to playing with Richard going forward. We do have a couple shows set up. But as Carter said earlier, everyone's so talented that I'm just so grateful, you know, to have these people and opportunities.
Right. I always say that I'm so lucky that I can surround myself with musicians who make me worry about playing my own songs up to par. Like, we rehearsed with Ben yesterday, and he left, and everybody was like, I was like, how do you think it went? And they're like, I think it went really well. And I was like, I'm going to go practice. I'll see you tomorrow, though. Sitting with my metronome, fuck. Annabelle.
Gotta get this time. All right, well, let's move on to the next song, The Strapping Lads. Played for you, listening there. They played this for you. All right. It's called Nothing Left to Lose. So here it is. Listen to it. It's Nothing Left to Lose by Carter Lou and The Project.
Live here, well, not in fear. One turn back, there's time. When there's nothing left to
That song you just heard was Nothing Left to Lose by Carter Liu and The Project. Is there a story behind that song? Anything people should know about it?
Nothing Left to Lose, I wrote it a good while ago. It's about what's just going on right now. All the police killing people, people killing police. I mean, Jesus fuck, Trump's running for office.
Oh, boy.
But, yeah, it's just about everybody... I don't know. I feel like it's everybody I went to high school with. They're just pieces of shit on Facebook, and they write all about these problems that everybody's talking about, but they don't do dick about it. And that upset, that just angers me. And that's, I'm like, if you're going to put up this front, that there really is, like, this is the worst it can get, and it needs to get better, then you fucking, you just got to do something.
Yeah.
That's all the song is about. That, I mean, shit is very bad right now all over the world. Here, because, you know, we live here in the projects of the U.S. of A. But everywhere else,
barrio.
I mean, we're still so lucky, and yeah, people just take the little shit we have for granted, and that's just all it's about. It's like, fuck you, do something about it, or shut up.
Gas prices.
Yeah.
Well, you know, crime's been down. Stabbings right. have lessened in the bar.
That's always good.
Do you have any shows coming up that people have to get to, they have to go to? No choice.
January 12th?
Richard's band, Milo and the Doldrums, and The Projects are playing, but I'm not going to say where. Yes, I am. Carter Liu and The Project, Milo and the Doldrums, or Milo and the Doldrums, Carter Liu and The Project, at Jam and Java, again, mm-hmm. for the 17th album release show.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it'll happen. Hopefully one of us releases something.
Yeah.
Besides, someone's like, emotion it. And mm-hmm. energy and spunk.
Yeah.
It's not a release without spunk.
True. You got spunk, you got sass.
Right.
You got,
I just try to play in time.
Spass, you got sunk.
Any other shows people need to know about?
That's it right now. We've been laying low to, you know, finish the album that'll never get done.
Well, hopefully it's done by the 12th show.
Ooh.
I hope so.
But no promises.
No, I can't. We're not holding you up to it. Lies to myself. I haven't slept in 3 weeks.
And if people want information on when the album's coming out, any upcoming shows, got all that social media?
Oh, yes. We're on all the socials. On Instagram, it's Carter Liu and The Project. Wait for it. Official DC.
Ooh.
I don't understand how there is another Carter Liu and The Project or Projects in Virginia. Just plain, or from Washington, D.C. So we're officially
yeah.
the D.C. Carter Liu and The Project. It's a lot of work. We made it happen. On Facebook, it's just Carter Liu and The Project. And then that's all you need. Everything yeah. will be on there. The
You'll
website,
find it. You're internet right? savvy if you found this show.
Yeah, come
yeah.
on.
Yeah. yeah. You know what you're doing. You're professional.
Find us on MySpace.
Right? We're on MySpace at something clever.
Yeah.
Monthly drawing to be in the top 8.
Yeah, my top 8 this week is sick.
Yeah. Follow
AOL
us on
keyword
Tinder.
With your parents' permission, Carter yes. Liu and The Project.
You can aim us, yeah. but only between 4 to 6 because then we have to do homework.
Yes, Dad.
I got a couple shows to tell you guys listening out there about. The first one, if you remember a while back, I had an amazing traveling husband-wife duo called Adam and I. Well, Adam's coming to town to perform at Nashville Standards at the Tasting Room Wine Bar in Reston. That is on November 26th. That's going to be a very low-key event, so, you know, get ready to be low-key. You're tired of your family.
Yeah.
You're tired of sales.
Yeah.
You're tired of holidays.
Mm-hmm.
Wine.
Wine. Yeah. Music.
Yeah, too many high keys.
Yeah.
All the low keys.
Gotta get the,
right in the middle,
get low key.
Ooh, yeah.
yeah. Then our good friends Aztec Sun are releasing an EP
Ooh.
At Songbird Cafe on December 10th. Aw, yes. Get you know, get down with your funky self. Go get this EP. Like,
oh,
it's Aztec
yeah.
Sun. Enough said. They're an amazing funk band. If you love funk, if you love life.
Ooh.
If you don't like life, then go to this and it'll help you love life.
Yeah.
Go get their EP.
Is any of the percentage of the profits going towards the Aztec civilization? I have to know.
I mean, I'm going to have to ask them because I don't know what their connections to Montezuma are.
Probably a good idea to go from the source.
I think it's just going towards the funk.
Montezuma's revenge is over. He gave us Aztec Sun. He's forgiven.
You can smell it.
And then, say you're sick and tired of going to your JCPenney's and buying the same pants and socks that everyone gets. It doesn't make you an individual. Well, guess what? On December 19th, Jam and Java is hosting the Giving Gathering, which is a collection of local artists and craftsmen getting together, presenting their wares for you to go and purchase just in time for Christmas. And we know how important that Christmas money is to everyone.
Ooh.
So go there to get all your sentimental items. Yeah. They're going to be tight.
Gizmos and gadgets.
So many talented people.
Get the iPhone 8.
Oh, shit.
Now, I know you're probably on
over there. You're like such a gear guy over there.
You're probably on the internet, so please go to Castathetic on Facebook, on Instagram. Follow, tweet us at Keaton Thinking. You can also tweet my engineers at Mark Ryder Music and at Ken Barnum or at Ken Barnum or Mark Ryder. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm drawing a blank on them because I forgot to write them down. That's their Instagram handles, too, so you can follow. They post funny stories. They posted a very meta video of me filming me while filming. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. Get meta with
whoa.
It.
Whoa.
Oh, yes.
And while we're talking about Ken Barnum and Mark Ryder, very big thank you to both of them for mixing and producing and recording.
Thank you so much.
And you know why the world hasn't ended? It's because any time a mad villain or an alien species is about to destroy our world or control the weather, they stop them. And you don't hear about it, but you're hearing about it now. They stopped all the villains.
Here in Virginia.
You would never would have guessed it. Very big thank you to Bias Studios for having us. They got lovely facilities. You can check them out at biasstudios.com. If you want to book, record here. If there's anything musical you want to do, you can do it here. And I just forgot that I forgot to plug open mics, so I'm plugging them right now for you. Open mics are important. Go to open mics. You can hear so many things from so many musicians in the area that you don't hear normally from their regular sets. Interact with them, talk. They're great. Two wonderful open mics is every Tuesday night at Philadelphia Tavern in Old Town Manassas. Another one is Epicure Cafe every Thursday night.
Yeah. They have great curry, just want to say. Because, curry, pizza. Epicure Cafe's curry.
I don't think I've ever ate anything bad at Epicure.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm.
And they're such nice people that work there and own it.
Oh, yeah. Love that guy that runs open.
You like Persian tea? Not a problem. Epicure Cafe.
Yep. Now, there is one last song that Carter Lou and the Project played for you guys listening out there. It's called Annabelle. Anything you want to tell people about this song?
do it. No, Annabelle is just about relationship abuse, and just some. Originally, what happened was I was in London with Curtis, and the Annabelle of the song called me halfway across the world, just in tears, and her ex partner, whatever at the time, they had broken up and was threatening her and doing all these horrible, nasty things, and she was freaking out. She wanted to end her life, just all of these horrible things, and I was trying to tell her over the phone that it was going to be all right. You just have to keep doing it. There's no reason for you to end your life because of some fucking asshole, you know? And thankfully, the chorus came from that conversation, so I didn't really have to think too hard about it, which is great. I love, just relaxing and not thinking. But that was the first song I ever wrote that I was like, you know what? This is not shit. Not to sound conceited, but it's not shit. Here we are.
It's a good metric.
2 years later.
Not shit.
I like not poop.
All right, well, here it is for you guys listening out there. I'll be back with some more music in a couple weeks. This is Annabelle by Carter Lou and the Project. Go check them out and have a great couple weeks.
Little girl, save your smile, watch your time. This whole world, it will change, you will cry.
girl, don't let this get you down. No concrete life I see, it's a game of chance. Moving on, you are strong, violence.